Psalm 76, for the choir director on string instruments, a psalm of Asaph, a song. God is known in Judah, his name is great in Israel, and his tabernacle is in Salem. His dwelling place also is in Zion. There he broke the flaming arrows, the shield and the sword and the weapons of war. Selah. Thou art resplendent, more majestic than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered, they sank into sleep, and none of the warriors could use his hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse were cast into a deep sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy presence, and when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven, the earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the humble of the earth, Selah. For the wrath of man shall praise thee. With the remnant of wrath thou shalt gird thyself. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. All who are around him bring gifts to cut to him who is to be feared. And he will cut off the spirit of princes, and he is feared by the kings of the earth. Amen. Okay. Psalm 76 was most likely written after a great victory. There's some debate about the timing, and if you remember a few days ago, we talked about this debate. Is this Asaph, the worship leader of the time of David and Solomon, or did Asaph turn into a title that worship leaders down the road could have used? And so, if it's Asaph of David and Solomon, then a lot of what he writes is prophetic. And so, in other words, events that have not yet taken place. But there's evidence of that because the scriptures actually call Asaph a prophet. Or if it's Asaph is a title used by other musicians, then some of these incidents are events that have already happened. So there's differing views on this. Most likely, if you take the early Asaph view, then he's writing prophetically. If you take the later Asaph view, then he's talking about the battle with Sennacherib. In Isaiah, that's written. So remember how the Lord puts the enemy into a sleep? And so it could be written about that. So, I mean, there's different viewpoints, but let's kind of dig into the text a little bit. He says, God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. His tabernacle is in Salem, and his dwelling place also is in Zion. And so he's talking about that God, his revelation, has come to the nation of Israel. Could have come to any different place, but is particularly the nation of Israel. He is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel, and his tabernacle is in Salem. So Salem was really another term for Jerusalem. So obviously we have it in there. The early pilgrims were so taken by this passage that they actually named their first settlement, if you guys know, Salem, Massachusetts. And so so he's talking about this place, and his dwelling place also is in Zion. It's interesting, the word dwelling place is not the typical Hebrew word that means home. It actually is more the word that means a lair. And so, like think of it like a cave. And so the picture that Asaph is writing is really the Lion of Judah. And you can imagine that it's this ferocious lion that's perched, that's watching over Israel, that's watching over his people, but like ready to pounce. If you've ever seen like National Geographic and you see the pose of the lion when he's about to ready to go after his prey, that's the imagery that Asaph is using here. And it really is the Lion of Judah that's ready to protect his people. And that's basically what he does when he goes to war with Israel. And you are, it says, there he broke the flaming arrows, the shield, the sword, and the weapons of war. Paul would later on use this same imagery when he'll write in 2 Corinthians And he'll basically say, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. In other words, we have different weapons than the world does. And so what God does, he breaks these weapons of warfare. They're nothing to him in this way. And so then so there's that pause, the Selah. And then in verse 4, it says, you are resplendent, more majestic than the mountains of prey. The stout heart were plundered. They sank to sleep. This is possibly the war with Sennacherib that it's talking about. But it's this idea, and it's most likely you have Asaph that's hiking up into the mountains. And he's there amongst the goats and the ibexes and you know, all different animals. And he's kind of drawing this imagery. You're more majestic than the mountains of prey. And you know, it would seem like that the Israelites are prey. You know, here's this tiny nation surrounded by their enemies. It seemed like easy targets, but God's majestic. He's there to protect his people. In fact, the stout heart, in other words, the proud, the mighty, they were plundered. In fact, they sank into a sleep. Again, could be the war with Sennacherib, or it could just simply mean that that God subdued the enemies that they seemed like they were asleep. There could also be that kind of poetic imagery that's laid out. None of the warriors could use his hands. And at that rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse were cast into a deep sleep. You can imagine the joy of the Israelites hearing this kind of statement. One of the most feared things that you can ever see in war are chariots and horses. I mean, this is the most frightening thing that you could, as a in battle, to see an army of horses, an army of chariots. For most history, you got the chariots, you got the horses, you're basically going to win the battle. And he says that, listen, at thy rebuke, in other words, at the word of the Lord, what happens? The rider and the horse were cast into a deep sleep. In other words, they couldn't do anything before the Lord. And then he asked the question, kind of the rhetorical question, Lord, thou even thou art to be feared, and who may stand in the presence when thou art angry? Like, who is able to stand? Who is able to do anything when the anger of the Lord burns on the enemies of God? Lord, you cause judgment to be heard from heaven. And remember, his judgment is righteous and it's fair, and the earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the humble of the earth, Selah. Now, you have to understand that there is a reciprocal relationship that happens. When God is punishing the unrighteous, you know what that means? It means the righteous are saved. When God is rendering judgment, it means that those innocent people that are being harmed by these evildoers are actually saved. And so Asaph is just writing this simple reciprocal relationship that when judgment comes, then the innocent are saved, then to save all the humble of the earth. And that's basically what happens in judgment. When the judgment comes, I mean, just think of in modern day in a court case, then the person that's been harassed or whatever it may be is actually saved. And we see that God's hand of judgment is important because the result of it is people are safe. And that's really the heart and the goal of God's judgment. And it says, for the wrath of man shall praise thee. And you think of, what is this like? How does the wrath of man praise the Lord? And all you have to do is just go to the story of Esther and you look at the story of Haman. And so remember, Haman wanted to exterminate the Israelites and particularly Mordecai. So he constructs these gallows to hang Mordecai. And guess what? That's the wrath of Haman over these people. And God uses his wrath, uses his anger, and turns it totally upside down so that the Lord is praised. And it's one of those things where when people, because the wrath of man is unjust, unlike the wrath of God, which is just. And I led this devotional yesterday with our staff dealing with wrath and the anger of God and these type of things. And Romans 2:5 tells us very simply that it's our stubbornness of heart, it's our hardness of heart, it's our stubbornness, and that we store up for ourselves wrath as a result. So we deserve this, but the wrath of man is undeserved by the people that the wrath has been placed upon. So it's really talking about injustice in this way. And so when that happens, when the wrath of man, when it comes, guess what? God turns it around and he ordains praise for himself as a result. And with the remnant of wrath, thou shalt gird thyself. And we see that, in other words, the girding is the strengthening. And so basically what he's saying is the wrath of man, God's going to turn it around. He's going to offer praise. And then the remnant of the wrath, in other words, the result, what happens afterwards, is going to gird you with strength. That you're going to realize and know, man, God's in charge. God saves those that are humble. God even turns the weapons of man's anger, and he turns it against evil men. And so there's a girding of strength that happens there. So he concludes, make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. In other words, be truthful to the Lord. Let all who are around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared. He will cut off the spirits of princes, and he is feared by the kings of the earth. Obviously, this is talking about not just the people now, but this is an international thing, that God is going to restore, protect Israel, but it's his might is going to be really established and shown and seen by those that are far off. And so this is the might of God. So let's close our eyes. The Lord is our protector. He's the Lion of Judah that stands in that place looking to protect the people of God against the enemies of the Lord. And even though they have their wrath, they have their chariots, their horses, their many, many soldiers, even though we are outnumbered, it doesn't matter because God is in charge. And there's this deep, deep trust in the Lord that his judgment will come through. And so let's, as we sing this song and as we pray this morning, let's put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our Father who protects his people, in the Lord that gives strength to those that trust him. Let's pray.
Yeah. the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, Majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hand. I'm singing Majesty, Majesty, forever I am changed by your so that I can forgive. Here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire. And
let's give the Lord praise for being our protector, for being our guide, for being the Lion of Judah that's ready to pounce against injustice. And if you're a recipient of injustice, if you're a recipient, you know, have faith in the Lord that His timing is perfect. I think for many of us, and this is what I shared yesterday in our staff meeting, I think judgment, when we talk about this, we think about a few things. One, we think about if it's judgment against us, we think about unfairness. But one, we know that God's judgment is fair. The scriptures are very clear that it's righteous judgment. But the second thing is when we're waiting for that judgment or the wrath of God or anger, whatever it may be, towards people that maybe are doing us harm, a lot of times the issue is timing. We say, Lord, your judgment should have come yesterday. But we come before Lord that's his judgment is perfect. It's the perfect time. It's not too late. It's not too slow. It's right on time. And we trust that the Lord is in that place and that his judgment is equitable in that way. And so this morning, let's put our heart and let's put our faith in the God of judgment, in the God of that has wrath, and that it will be displayed in the right time, and that wrath will be fair and righteous. Now let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies. So let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for those who are battling through non-cancer illness. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that has COVID. Man, the list is, keeps growing every day. Let's just ask God's hand that they would recover well, that the symptoms would be minimized, they would be getting rest at home, and they wouldn't infect other people. Let's also pray for the frontline medical workers, that God would continue to protect them and give them strength during this time. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's pray for SPBJ and SPSH. Let's ask the Lord to minister in our churches, bless our leaders, and not only the pastors, but the other leaders of the church. Let's pray for the Chungs and for churches all throughout, that the gospel be preached powerfully. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our board, and let's pray for the Holy Spirit to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we lead our church. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, our young adults, our men's ministry, and our women's ministry. Let's pray for all the different activities, and that they would gather together and really lift each other up so we can draw closer to the Lord. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for building and resources. Let's pray for the Vision Fund, and just the Lord would release a benefactor. Let's ask God's hand to be with us. Let's lift up our pregnant women. Let's ask God's protection over their health, over the baby's health. Let's pray that as they give birth soon, that there'll be a very smooth delivery, that God would be with the doctors and the nurses, and the whole family would just really be blessed. Now, let's lift up. Let's pray for house churches, Blue Pool, Chai T, Fortress, Gia, New Condo, TST, and Westfield. Let's ask God's hand and to be with each of our leaders, our hosts, just where the presence of God would really lead and guide tonight's meetings. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that your judgment is true. God, your judgment is equitable. God, your judgment is righteous, Lord. And so we pray, God, that you are the Lion of Judah, Lord, that perches, Lord, on top of the hill and looks out for your people. And Lord, and we feel protected. God, we know that we're under your arms, God. And so help us to walk in that assurance today, God, as we run hard after you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Watch over us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.